45 metres.
Here he comes to win the All Ireland.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hello and welcome back to the GAA Scores podcast. My name's Connor and I'm joined by Pierce.
Good evening.
And Mick.
Hello.
And we've had our break now and we've decided to come back to you.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Did you just miss my voice?
It's good to be back, yeah, it's good.
All right, okay, so we need to answer that. So just a small matter of the... We're going to chat a bit about the All-Stars and then maybe about some of the new managerial appointments. Pierce, I know you felt quite strongly, especially about the football All-Star selection. Well, sure, I'll tell you what. I'll go through the team first and then you can chip in with whatever you feel, okay?
Cool, Grant.
So, in Nets, we had Stephen Cloxton of Dublin. Fullbacks were Colin Walsh, Rory O'Carroll, Dublin, Keith Higgins of Mayo. Halfbacks, Lee Keegan of Mayo, Kian O'Sullivan, Dublin, Colin Boyle of Mayo. He then had Michael Dara McCauley of Dublin and Aidan O'Shea of Mayo. Paul Flynn of Dublin, Colm Cooper, Kerry, Sean Kavanagh and wing half forward from Tyrone, James O'Donoghue and from Kerry in corner forward, Bernard Brogan, and then Conor McManus from Monaghan in the corner. Now, Pierce, you felt quite strongly about this and you expressed those strong opinions over Twitter and that over since the past week. What are your thoughts, really?
It's a very strange team, how it was picked, and I know an awful lot of people have been talking since the most obvious exclusion has been Killian O'Connor, and people have tried to come up with reasons as to why it was right to leave him out and why this person, the likes of Conor McManus or James O'Donoghue, had better years than Killian O'Connor. But like, probably the most glaring problem out of that team that was announced is Sean Kavanagh at wing forward and Keno Sullivan at centre back. Like, two fellas who played midfield for the majority, for 95% of the year, are chosen at 6 and 12, and in doing so, are leaving out two fellas. Not that I have any in mind, but are leaving out two fellas who would probably be better, who would deserve an All-Star playing in those two positions. Other than that, the team, in the full forward line, I find it very, very strange that Killian O'Connor was left out, considering he was the top scorer in the championship. Other fellas, Martin Dunne was top scorer for long, long periods. If Martin Dunne was playing for Dublin, Mayo, Tyrone, he probably would have scored a hell of a lot more and would have performed probably a little bit better. I just think, personally, the All-Stars is kind of losing some of its authenticity and originality that it had for so long. And like, it was always about individual great performances, individualized, and it's now become what it seems rewarding the most amount of players you can feasibly possible on the All Ireland winning team, and if you can, then try and do as much as possible for the All Ireland finalists that are beaten. Now, I would say about 12, maybe 13 of the team, there's 50-50 calls you can make for a lot of them. Like, I saw someone on Twitter the other night say Jack Cafferkey probably could have been in ahead of Rory O'Carroll. I can see the arguments for that. But I would say Keno Sullivan at centre-back had a great year, but he wasn't the best player at centre-back. Sean Kavanagh wasn't the best left-out forward in the country. Bernard Brogan, I know I've said a lot of dubs here, I really don't understand how he won an All-Star. You know, he had an excellent All-Ireland final, but for the rest of the year, he didn't do an awful lot by his standards, and I think he would mention the same. And I would also argue against James O'Donoghue as well. I don't think he did an awful lot to warrant an All-Star. Other than that, it's 50-50 calls right throughout the team.
What do you think, Mick? The inclusion, perhaps, of James O'Donoghue over Killian O'Connor is a big talking point. Sean Kavanagh as well. Is there any other glaring omissions or surprise inclusions that caught your eye?
I suppose, probably surprised, as Pierre said, to James O'Donoghue over Killian O'Connor. I suppose they're trying to accommodate, you know, 15 of the 15 individual standout performers rather than the best players in the position. And I suppose, like, you know, the likes of Keane Mackey with Cavan had a fantastic year, and maybe if Sean Cavanagh wasn't picked there, you know, he might have slotted in. You know, for me, you know, I probably would have gone with Cavan. If that was the case, I would have gone with Cavan in midfield, maybe Keane Mackey wing forward. I thought Aidan O'Shea, up to the quarterfinal, would have given him football of the year. But after that, I thought he went off the ball in the semi-final and final. But I suppose, on reflection, I suppose it is probably a fair team, and, you know, to get two players, I think is a fair reflection of the great year they had. And, you know, Lee Keegan, again there from Mayo, and Colin Boyd, you know, two of them have fantastic years as well. So, I mean, it probably is a fair team on reflection.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, Pierce, but I think a lot of them have been earned. You know, I think the two Monaghan fellas, definitely. Sean Cavan has had a fantastic year, and in goals, there's no one really you could have picked other than Cluxton. You know,
I would argue about the goalkeeper position as well. Rob Henley. Now, Stephen Cluxton had a great year, and if he was left out and Rob Henley was left in, there would have been equal amount of arguments. But I do think that was a 50-50 call as well. Just what you're saying there about it being a fair team and Sean Cavanagh having a great year and all that. Like, I think we have to go back to the basics of what the All Stars is actually about. And Sean Cavanagh getting picked at left half forward, he was not the best left half forward in the country this year. He was one of the best midfielders. Keane O'Sullivan had a great year. Was he even one of the best midfielders in the country this year? Probably not. Like, I understand Mick's point, and I could guarantee you that as they were picking these teams, had the exact same thing in mind, trying to include the best performance as opposed to the best individual positions. But that's a cop-out for me, because, like, having four midfielders in that team this year. Now, I know some might argue Keane O'Sullivan's a natural centre back, whatever. He played midfield this year. Having four midfielders in that team this year, for the All-Stars, that's not picking the best individuals. That's saying, I can't choose between the four, so let's include all of them. Put their neck on the line. Say who they thought were the best two midfielders. People will argue, I thought that fellow was better than that. But at least the team would have been a little bit fairer.
Yeah, that's like you're saying about what is the All-Stars. You know, it's meant to be the best team. You know, you're not picking a squad.
Exactly.
You know, why not go and then pick 20 players and just say, there's some, you know, there's, and give them all-Stars.
Exactly.
You know, I know there are All-Star replacements in that, but, like, you know, in saying that, it is a bit of a cop-out. Like you're saying about Keane O'Sullivan. I think Sean Cavanagh possibly did deserve a midfield spot. Although, you got to look at the criteria then, because Aidan O'Shea has been included in there, and it's been said that he didn't have a great semi-final and he didn't have a great final. Whereas you look at Bernard Brogan, you know, he had a good semi-final and he had an even better final, you know. So out of the two of them, you know, who deserved more to be included there?
Exactly. Like, the one thing I've asked myself about certain players that have been picked on the team, and I always go back to it, if Bernard Brogan, on the form he had this year, if he played with Longford, would he have even been considered? Probably not. He wouldn't have gotten onto the team. He would have been so poor. He progressed nicely throughout the championship. He was on a Dublin team that were steamrolling to an All-Ireland. And he got onto an All-Ireland, the All-Ireland final team. And he performed on the day, and congratulations to him. And it was great for him to do that. But that's, for me, that's a disservice to what the All-Stars is about. Now, I'm not trying to pinpoint on one fella, because there's others on the team who I think, like, for instance, like we mentioned, Sean Cavanagh, Keane O'Sullivan, James O'Donoghue for me, like, someone mentioned the other day, Dermot Connolly had a good year, Paul Mannion, Jack McCaffrey, like, there's plenty of lads on that team, not even from a Dublin perspective, like, that could have been merited an inclusion on the team.
Yeah, and I suppose to pick up on Pierce's point, and I think, like, Keith Higgins played probably the majority of his football at wing forward this year, and was picked a cornerback, and Sean Cavan was picked the wing forward. So I suppose again, it just shows how far they're willing to go to accommodate. And I know Keith Higgins is a natural defender, but you know, played a hell of a lot of football in the forces here and was picked at number four.
Yeah, similar to the Keane O'Sullivan inclusion there as well. Then, you know, going by the position. What about the other Kerry man on the team? Then you got Gooch Cooper in there, deserving in centre forward. Yeah.
100%.
The match against Dublin, it was fantastic, and it really was. I think James O'Donoghue had a decent enough year, but I don't think he had as dazzling as a year to perhaps merit an inclusion. I thought, you know, in the earlier rounds in the Munster Championship and that, you know, he did play very well, but I don't know, I just thought that it was a bit of a strange inclusion. It was almost as if they were going through the team and they got to the corner forward and they thought, we've mentioned too many Mayo players here. And that's why Killian O'Connor's been left out. Like, I'm obviously not saying that is what happened, but
yeah,
it does smack of that in a way. Like, I don't understand that number 13 on the All-Star team was made for it. And if not, then I agree. I think the two Cavan men, you know, could have had a say. You know, they only played until the quarter final. It's hard to get included there. But Cian Mackay, you know, wing half forward was fantastic this year. And you had Martin Dunn as well. I don't know. It is a bit strange one. It's like you said, Pierce. It'll be interesting to know what the criteria is for it. Is it just pick the 15 biggest names from this summer, or is it the 15 best players, or is it 15 best in each position?
Like when you look at the nominations and who was nominated, and it just is a matter of who was nominated from the perceived smaller counties. Mickey Newman from Meath in full forward line, who finished the year with 127. He probably could have been merited an inclusion going on the impact he had. Lorcan Mulvey in the half forwards and the year London had. Would they have been as successful without him? Who knows? Darren Hughes at midfield. Like, Sean Kavanagh wasn't even nominated at midfield.
No, he was nominated half forward. And I think when that happened, you sort of knew he was going to be mentioned in half forward, because even in, you look at the Sunday game when they made their team, who was at left half forward in that team? Sean Kavanagh.
And that's them saying to themselves, we can't make the call. We have to include all three. That's not a team of the year.
It's a cop out.
It is a cop out. Yeah. It really is a cop out.
Yeah, and I think just going back to the point about James O'Donoghue, I mean, he obviously played well in the Munster Championship. They played, you know, I think they played Waterford and Tipperary, and then he was quite good in the Munster final against Cork. Missed the back goal chance. We should have passed it off. And like, let's call a spade, he was shit hot in the semi-final. Probably in the top three performances of the year, with, you know, Aidan O'Shea's performance at Donegal. But does that warrant an All-Star? It's a question. Probably does in my book. And then just to Colin Cooper, I mean, I think he's won off Pat's Bland's record of All-Stars now. And, you know, certainly would have got football of the year. Kerry made it to the final.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to see him, I think, get that record and break it as well, because like, he really has been the standout player of our generation. And it is so strange that he hasn't managed to win that Club All-Ireland yet. And I think maybe perhaps it'll be this year, but sure, another podcast will talk about that as well. Would you want to just move on to talk a bit about the players of the year then?
Yeah, go for it.
Football of the year, Michael Darrow McCauley from Dublin. Any arguments there?
For me, no. I think all year he has probably, it was between Aidan O'Shea, I know he wasn't nominated. Lee Keegan probably would have been thereabouts, but the fact that Dublin won the All-Ireland probably edges it for me for McCauley. I think he's one of the most underrated players in Ireland. He's got a superb skill set. He covers so much. And playing all year beside a fella who wasn't a conventional midfielder, I really think he blew the roof off for me anyway.
What do you think, Mick? Would you have anyone else in there? Would you have Gooch or anybody else?
You could, if you're going for style and out in a football in the middle, it would be Gooch. But I think McCauley carried this Dublin team when they were struggling at times. And since he got on the team in the back of Ballyboden's championship winning, I think it was 09, 08, 09. And every year he's improved. And this year he was just incredible. The best non-footballing footballer, if you get what I mean. I mean, like, if a fella that can hardly kick a ball 20 yards straight, I mean, the other things he does for a Dublin team are, you know, phenomenal. And as well as next year again, I think he's definitely not the finished article. I mean, he's definitely got room for improvement. I mean, passing the ball, and he's coming through and going the 14 yard line. I mean, I think Dublin could even see an even higher goal return, but definitely no arguments about his Football year.
I think in the next season he'll be reminded of that constantly, and you'll see him passing every one of them off to Brogan. Yeah, Jack McCaffrey then, a young footballer of the year. I thought, you know, some of the games that he did put in some brilliant performances, and then not included in the All-Star team, which is a bit strange. You know, you don't often see that, someone picking up a Player of the Year award and not getting on the team.
Well, that's when I saw that, I thought that was unbelievable how three players that were nominated for a young player of the year, that has to be unprecedented. Like, what merits them getting nominated for that in the first place then, if they can't even make the All-Star 15? I know when Jack McCaffrey's plays again, it was really kind of, it was between himself, Colin Boyle, and Lee Keegan, you know, and for the wing back positions. Three doesn't fit into two. Paul Mannion, probably considering some of the players that did get All-Stars, might feel hard done by, but in the All-Ireland final, he probably didn't perform as much as he wanted to. But then again, what are we basing this on? One brilliant individual performance in one game, or over a season? I'm starting to question that. And Kieran O'Connor, it's baffling how he was nominated for the Young Player of the Year, and yet he was top scorer of the championship. But he didn't get on the team. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it.
Yeah, it is strange. It does link back to that criteria that's being used, and it's almost as if, you know, they didn't want to do the obvious or something, because the obvious thing would point to Killian O'Connor taking the Young Player of the Year, you know, and picking up a spot, and it's almost as if it's just been decided, yeah, we're gonna mix it up a bit here.
Yeah, so I think he was going for his third Young Football of the Year, so maybe does that come against the fellow? I'm not sure. They want to change it up, maybe, but maybe the fact was that the semi-final went off very early on and only played half the Connor final. Maybe that, I don't know, does that come into it when they're selecting these teams? But, you know, it certainly is a strange one he was omitted.
But do you think really that they even take into consideration the Connacht Championship? Because they mustn't do, you know, because if they are going to take in it, you know, Killian O'Connor got the three goals in the final against London, you know, so it mustn't even come into it really.
But then how would Conor McManus merit an inclusion?
Yeah, no, I know, I agree with that, but I'm just saying that it mustn't come into if Killian O'Connor, you know, didn't get selected in the corner forward, Conor McManus did. I completely agree with Conor McManus's inclusion. I think he definitely deserves a spot. And we sort of talked about it earlier in the year and laughed about it, but he could have had another goal against Tyrone as well, you know. So he was their threat. He was their main man.
Big time.
Yeah, so sure, we'll just move on to the hurling team then. There's a couple of maybe controversial exclusions in this one as well, actually. In goals, we got Anthony Nash, we got Richie McCarthy, Limerick, and cornerback Peter Kelly, Dublin, and David McInerney of Clare. Then Brendan Bugler, Liam Rush, and Patrick Donnellan. Colm Galvin and Connor Ryan in the middle of the park. Seamus Harnaday, Tony Kelly, centre three quarters. Danny Sutcliffe then in the left half. Podge Collins, Patrick Horgan, and Conor McGrath, the full forward line. Mick, what do you think there?
Well, I suppose I think I've vented my frustration at Shane O'Neill's omission. You know, after the Munster Championship, Richie McCarthy would have definitely been in my team. But I mean, I thought Shane O'Neill's performances, you know, against Kilkenny, even in the Munster final, you know, they're playing against 14 men for the second 35 minutes, and he hurled the mountain ball off Declan Hannan. And of course, you know, we know what happened in the All-Ireland final, but it, you know, there's one bad performance merit exclusion from a team. I'm not sure. I thought Conor Ryan, obviously he was man of the match the first day in the All-Ireland final, but I felt Daniel Carney very unlucky not to get an All-Star there. And other than that, I think it's very, very hard really to argue with it. Maybe Mick Carton with Dublin could feel a bit hard done, but I thought he had a mighty year for Dublin. But other than that, I think it's very, very hard to argue with the team.
Three Cork players is all that's included there, Pierce. Do you think there could have perhaps been more?
I don't know. It's Clare, I think, ended up being so good that it probably would have been difficult to exclude any of the Cork fellas. The team itself, like the only Cork man that I think would have felt hard done by would have been Shane O'Neill. I know in the All-Ireland final he wasn't he wasn't particularly great, but as previously mentioned, does one performance merit an exclusion? That obviously seems to be the case. The rest of the team seems relatively right. It seems relatively spot on. You know, the Cork all year, for me personally, did rely on a core group of Anthony Nash, Patrick Corgan, Shane O'Neill.
Harnady as well, then.
Seamus Harnady. So, like, did they have that many standout performances like Clare did? Probably not. Like, I don't think all year Cork were as flashy and as flashy in their hurling style as Cork were. Like, it's the same with the Dublin team. Peter Kelly, Liam Rush and Danny Sutcliffe were kind of Trojans for that team all year. It seems like a fair team.
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, there's definitely less controversy about it than the football team. And I think because of, you look at the performance, like, because, okay, if you look at the All-Ireland final, the first game, Clare really did put on a show there and Cork clawed their way back into it. And then the replay game, Clare did put on another show again. So they were always going to get, you know, like you're saying, when their men played well, they stood out more. You know, they really did. And like, for example, in the replay, you know, Shane O'Donnell getting the hat-trick. Obviously, I don't think he's going to get included in the team because on the back of that. But, you know, whenever their players played well, they really stood out. And it's easy to see why they've picked up so many All-Stars, perhaps in comparison to Cork, who are perhaps more workmanlike rather than the flashy style, like you're saying.
That's it, yeah. And, like, they were more individual-wise, were they as good? It would be argued that outside three or four fellas that they had, Cork probably mightn't have gotten as far as they did. Like, they had the fellas like Patrick Horgan and especially Anthony Nash who drove them on so much all year long. So, I think overall the hurling team, you can't be that many arguments over it.
Yeah, Mick, anything else do you think?
No, I just think it's great. The freshness that, you know, the last few years, it's been Tip, Kilkenny, Galway, and none of them have an All-Star this year, so I think it's great for it looks great for hurling this year, and hopefully it'll continue to the future.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that, the fact that, yeah, Kilkenny, no All-Stars, Tip, no All-Stars, Galway as well. You know, it's exciting, you know, like, even if you're fans of those counties, I'm sure it's very hard for you to say, but for everyone else, it is exciting. You have Tony Kelly then picked up the Player of the Year and the Young Player of the Year. There's not many arguments there, really, is there?
No, I thought maybe they might have given Podge Collins Young Hurler of the Year, but I mean, it's hard, I suppose, if a fella is picking up Hurler of the Year, maybe it's hard to not to give him the Young Hurler of the Year when he qualifies for it as well, but it's hard to argue to read, I think.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Podge Collins getting that award, I think, myself, but and then you have Patrick Horgan, who really, you know, if there was somebody who was a star man of that Cork team, aside from Anthony Nash, you know, he could have been. I know he wasn't in the final shortlist for it, but I just think it's someone else that possibly could have been. But Anthony Nash in the goals, there's no one really you could argue with there. Perhaps Kelly of Clare, but aside from that, Anthony Nash has been awesome for them this year.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is, I mean, if Donlough didn't get injured but at the end of the league last year, I mean, you know, he'd probably still be sitting in the stands.
Yeah, we never know if Jimmy Barry Murphy might have went for his clear out anyway, regardless of it.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Well, also another thing about you hear about some of the players not getting fed and not even getting chairs at the event.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shambles. I know. I think last year it was in the convention center and moved to the Croke Park this year for whatever reason. But I mean, you know, that's a disgrace. I mean, you're rewarding the players for, you know, standout performances over the course of a year, and for something like that to happen, it's not pleasant. I think they should be treated like royalty on nights like that.
Yeah, exactly. They're the attraction of the sport. I see a lot of people saying, I'm sure all the suits, they all got their seats and they all got fed, I'm sure. But there really was a bit of, there was an uproar about it. And it would be good to see if people brought the task on it as well, about whoever is to blame on it. I don't know. I don't know who it would be, the catering staff or something probably, but it'll probably be deflected onto them rather from the organisations. Okay, so there's been a lot of chopping and changing throughout the last 2 months even. Some counties haven't even changed, Mick. How long do you say it was since Sligo have gone without a manager?
I think it's about 4 months and counting.
That's shocking. Do you think if you went out early in the championship, you know, you'd have this time to plan and prepare? I guess just nobody wants it. But anyway, we'll move on to the counties that have changed manager. We'll start up in the north in Fermanagh, where Peter McGrath has come in, Pierce.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise, I would have imagined, considering his track record. He obviously sees something in that group of players, Peter McGrath, and maybe it was on the recommendation from Peter Canavan. Because when I saw that Peter Canavan had left, I thought it was a very strange one, because he didn't seem to have had any acrimonious arguing among the players or among the people within the county, and he wasn't even in it that long. So it could have been a case of Pete McGrath gotten the tip off from Peter Canavan and saying, look, there's fellas here. And again, they might be ones to watch for next year. Like, they started out all right in the Ulster Championship last year, and they were knocked out by Cavan both times. But in the league, I'm pretty sure they were promoted. So, like, it's...
Well, they just missed out in promotion.
It was Monaghan and Meath were promoted from Division 3, weren't they?
Just missed out by a point, I think.
Yeah, like, so that was a division that included Monaghan, Meath and Cavan. Four teams that performed... three teams that performed very well in the championship. And so Fermanagh have done all right there. Of the other counties, Kildare, I think, has probably been the one to watch for me. I said it during the championship that I thought it was a good time for Kildare to change manager. I know there was arguing to beat the band down there, or up there, over losing Kieran McGeaney and how much it was a disgrace in that. But I think they have got a good fella in there now, and Jason Ryan. And I think if they can get their heads right, I think they can be a massive threat to Dublin next year in the Leinster Championship.
Mick, something that's been brought up, the appointment of Jason Ryan, is that, you know, if they thought that Kieran McGeaney had failed last year, why promote somebody from within that was part of that team that failed?
Well, I think Jason Ryan was only there 1 year, and I think, you know, the work he did at Wexford kind of speaks for itself, really. I think he brought an average Wexford team and got them really to the height of their powers. I think anyone other than Jason Ryan getting appointed in Kildare probably would have meant a player strike or something, a lot more difficult for the Kildare County Board. I think he's the right appointment. I myself probably would have stuck with Kieran McGeaney. But on the back of it, I think he definitely is the right appointment, and I think a big year for Kildare next year.
Yeah, and aside from Kildare, then you've got Cork making the change as well. They got Brian Cuthbert in, previously in charge of the minor teams, won the Munster title, but lost to the All Ireland final to Tyrone as well. What do you think then? With all these retirements, do you think this is something that Cork will be able to cope with, and do you think they'll get on with it? Will they just have to get on with it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, from a long time out, you know, being spending time in the Cork over the summer, he was, you know, seen as the obvious appointment, you know, from a long way out once Conor Coonan stood down. And I think it's right of the players that, you know, they're leaving to leave now, given plenty of time to prepare. And, you know, as you said, I think he brought a Cork team to a minor All-Ireland final. And so there's plenty, and, you know, Brian Hurley, Damien Callum were both on that team. So there's plenty of talent there, and they've had some good success at a 121 level over the last year. So, I mean, he's definitely got the right tools to work with, and hopefully I think he is the right man for the Cork job.
Pierce, they've made a change over in Down on Munster again, but except this time for the Limerick Hurlers. TJ Ryan and Donoghue O'Grady are in charge of there. Ryan's to be the manager, and O'Grady's role is to be solely focused on coaching the side. And of course, O'Grady was manager before in 2011 when Ryan was a selector. What do you think of this appointment then?
It seems a good appointment, although I'm not entirely sure I see the logic in bringing back O'Grady again. It seems to be like the smack of, you know, Kenny Dalglish going back to Liverpool last year. Like, it's similar enough, kind of, are they trying to hang on to a fella who has already done a good job there? Now, I wasn't actually aware that O'Grady was going to be the selector and that TJ Ryan was going to be the manager, but that does make a little bit more sense in the way that TJ now has the reins. He's learned off him. He has him there from a bit more experience. they needed a little bit of continuity after last year's success. So in some ways it's a bit of a smart appointment, but in other ways, have they gone one step backwards to go two step forwards?
We'll have to wait and see with that. Back up north again, we've got Baker Bradley's back in the mighty Antrim again. He's going to lead the Saffrons to glory this year. Yeah, he's back in charge again there, a second spell. He led the county 2009 Ulster final. And I think perhaps the most interesting inclusion is, you know, the fact that his son, Paddy Bradley, is the assistant manager. It's almost got a bit of a Roy Keane factor. A lot of people maybe see what he thinks about it.
Yeah, I think it's a very astute appointment by Baker Bradley to bring him on board. I mean, he is playing up until last year, I think, you know, with the county, and he'll be fresh ideas. We'll know exactly, you know, what players require, etc. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of coaching ideas to offer. Obviously, a change was needed in Antrim after the disastrous year they had this year. Probably they're back where they were when Baker took over originally, back down Division 4. A daunting task, but I think it's one that, you know, they'll be up to, I think.
Yeah, I think there will be a bit of inspiration there, and I think with Paddy Bradley being on board, you know, like, a lot of players will genuinely look up to him and will, you know, have a sense of, you know, this is a guy, he's won All-Stars, you know, he is a big player in the game. It's just surprising. It'd be great if he could strip out for them. And then in Leash we've got Tomás O'Flaherty coming in there. Kerry Mann's replacing Justin McNulty in the role. Previous spells with Westmeath and Galway as well. Mick, what do you think there? Do you think he's the man to help lift Leash again?
I'm not so sure. I think it's a strange appointment. I think he's had two largely unsuccessful spells in charge of county sides. And I know he was great as a number two to Paddy O'Shea when Westmeath won Leinster back in 2004, I think it was. But as a manager, I think he struggled. I thought Leash made some good progress on Justin McNulty, but I think that work could be undone. But it remains to be seen.
And then finally, we've got the appointment in Westmeath. Former All-Ireland winner Paul Beelan is in charge there, and he's just taken over their senior football side. He won the All-Ireland 95, and he was the manager of the Wexford Footballers in 2005, and he also oversaw the Carlow senior side. Pierce, a lot of people have been unhappy about this appointment, and they think it's perhaps a good few steps back, never mind a couple.
For Paul Beelan over Westmeath?
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with him. The name escapes me of the guy who was over them last year.
Pat Flanagan.
He in himself wasn't, I didn't think, a great coach with the team. I know they got promoted into Division 1, but I wasn't impressed with them in Croke Park, and then I was equally unimpressed with him with his reaction after getting beaten by Dublin. It was a bit defeatist.
You hated that so much.
I know.
You were talking about that last time.
I know. I guess. And I just think, they've hired in a fellow, Paul Beelan, who's done a little bit of coaching around in the mid-table, kind of lower league sides. He's a good enough manager, and he's had pretty not great success. So yeah, I would say it's probably another two steps back for Westmeath.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Pierce. I think it's a disastrous decision. I would have kept Pat Flanagan after the work he did this year, getting promoted to Division 1, and he was blooding a lot of young players. But obviously, that the powers being Westmeath knew better. But I think they'll be straight back down from Division 1 anyway, I think, and they won't make much progress in the Championship next year.
Like there's just one last point I make on Pat Flanagan. Like, he was, for me, he wasn't a fantastic manager. But I really only think you should sack a fella if you're going to bring in someone who's probably managed at a higher level. Like, if they're going to get in, this is complete ballpark now, but Pat Gilroy or someone like that.
Yeah, or Jack O'Connor or someone like that was coming in. Maybe you'd make the moves. Who, incidentally, was one of the players or managers interviewed for the Kildare job, and that, I think that might have been interesting. Just final thing then, the talk about James Kavanagh is training with the Galway senior side. You expect to see that move go through?
Yeah, I would. I think he's been living there, I think, that for last year. Very different, I think, to the Shawnee Johnson saga. I think I'd definitely look forward to seeing him play in county football again. I mean, when Kildare was at the semi-final, they lost. I think he was in sublime form two or three years ago for Kildare, and I'm looking forward to seeing him back in county action.
Okay, well, that's everything for us this week. Pierce, you've anything to add in terms of the website, writing for the site, things like that there?
No, just keep looking at the site, keep reading our articles, keep listening to our podcast, and if you are interested in writing for us, email pierce@gascores.com or info@gascores.com.
That is fantastic. Mick, anything else to add yourself?
No, just good to be back in the fold, and looking forward to a good winter of GA Scores.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some club action covered, and who knows, there might be some other, I don't know, managerial appointments. Maybe Sligo will finally appoint someone. we can maybe talk about that.
Eamon O'Hara is waiting for that.
Yeah, oh, that would be fantastic. Okay, right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
With the angle about 45 metres, here he comes to win the All Ireland. Our mission was to show.